If you will open up your Bibles this morning, though, and we're going to continue in our study on the book of Revelation. I feel like I'm missing something here. Oh, Pastor Joseph, you're going to come at the end of the service here today and do something. That's what I'm missing. Okay, good. I got it. All right, my mind's clear. All right, Father God, won't you come today, and as you've come and inhabited our praise, we ask, Lord Jesus, that you'd open up our hearts and reveal some things to us that we've really not maybe seen before. Lord, we thank you that we can come together in your name. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you would illuminate your word here today and not let it just be something that's informational to us, but let it be something that's transformational to us. Lord, we want to walk out of here challenged and equipped, encouraged and renewed by your presence and in your word, and Lord, with your people that are gathered here today. We love you and thank you in advance for what you're going to do here today. And Jesus, it's in your name we pray. And all God's people said amen. We had about six people lift up their hands to receive the Lord last week. I feel like we just need to praise the Lord for that one more time. Would you just praise the Lord for that one more time? Now, what we looked at last week was we actually covered three chapters last week, Revelation 14, 15, and 16. We're going to cover two chapters this week because it's really speaking to the two different things that are going to be happening almost simultaneously, and it's just a description of the two world systems that really are established right now in this world. We've got the political economic system, and we also have the religious system. Now, not the relational system with Jesus Christ, but the religion, the religious system, a totally different system, okay? And we're going to look at that this morning. But the title of this message this morning is The Fall of the World's Evil Systems. Now, in Genesis 11, we sometimes got to go way back before we can go forward with this, because a lot of things that are happening in Revelation had their beginnings in Genesis, therefore the name, Genesis, the beginnings. And so in Genesis chapter 11, there's an interesting story of a man named Nimrod who led the people of that day to build a tower that would reach the heavens. Now, the motive behind this tower wasn't just to build a really tall tower, but really the whole motive was to create a man-centered, God-defying religious, political, and economic system that would replace God. Even back in the beginnings, people were trying to do everything that they could to live a life devoid of God. And God saw what they were doing, and as you've read the story, you may know about it, the Tower of Babel. How many's ever heard of the Tower of Babel? The dude Nimrod was the guy that organized the thing. And so in order to stop them, he confused their languages so that they couldn't communicate with each other anymore. Now, can you imagine waking up one morning, like imagine waking up this morning and speaking an entirely different language and realizing that other people are speaking a different language altogether? Not unlike that little phrase that we sang on that song just a moment ago. That's the language of Hebrew. And you probably thought, what in the world is that? Well, that's a language that people speak. And if you've ever been around other people that speak another language, we've gone to other foreign countries and missions trips, and there's a real language barrier there. You really don't know what people are saying. And that's exactly what took place here in that story in Genesis 11. That's what happened. They scattered from there, and the construction of that project was abandoned. But the spirit of rejecting God and replacing with a system devoid of him still remained and continues to this day. And so what we're going to see is it's going to come to its fullest potential in the tribulation. Now, we see this counterfeit system of Satan that has existed from the very beginning of mankind in Revelation 17 and 18. It's going to detail its future destruction, and it's clearly described this way. So if you look at Revelation 17 and 18, I'm not going to read through them today because it has a lot of interesting symbolisms. It talks about a woman on a beast, she's adorned in a lot of different ways. She's the great Babylon. It's a lot of different things that are there. I'm not going to go into the symbolisms of that because I'm really trying to keep this as simple and straightforward as possible and to literally interpret Revelation as I have from the very beginning without going into types and symbols. It can get really confusing, and in fact, it could probably even bog us down, and that's not my desire at all, to bog us down. I want Revelation to be a book that is clear for us to understand. And by the way, it's not Revelations, it's Revelation. As I said before at the very beginning, this is a revelation The entire book is a revelation of Jesus Christ. He's not the suffering servant. He's not the meek and lowly lamb. He is the King of all kings and the Lord of all lords. He's the conquering Savior in Revelation. That's what the revelation is. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, our soon coming conquering Savior. Amen? So if you read chapters 17 and 18, there's two collapses, there's two announcing angels, there's two systems, and they're detailed in two separate chapters. Chapter 17 describes the fall of the religious arm of it. It's called the Mystery Babylon. And chapter 18, and it's also led by the false prophet, by the way. And chapter 18 is the political economic arm of it, and that's called Babylon the Great, and that part is led by the Antichrist. Now, this system is described in Revelation 17 as a great prostitute woman riding a beast. Verse 5, I will read verse 5, and I want you to read along with me. It's up on the screen if you don't have your Bibles handy with you. Revelation 17, 5 says this. The name written on her forehead was a mystery. And there's two different titles here. There's two parts of this title. The title is Babylon the Great. That's the first part. And the second part is the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. Now, the first part of that title speaks to its power, which is Babylon the Great. And the second part speaks to its broad and evil influence, and that's the mother of all prostitutes and the abominations of the earth. I find it interesting this morning, and if you'll look this out, you can research it out, Google it, however you want to do it online. But this is a fact that the continent of Europe today was named after the Greek goddess Europa. There's a picture of her that I want you to put up there, if you will, Reese. It's a picture of a woman depicting riding a beast. Her image is actually, that image right there, something akin to it, is actually featured on five of the euro's monies exchanged today in Europe. It's a picture of a woman, a prostitute woman, riding a beast. And that right now, the whole continent of Europe was named after that person, this person that is in Revelation chapter 17. And right now, they in essence worship and adore this image because they have it on their money. Now, this beast that we're looking at is not just the Antichrist. This woman that's riding is the system, and the Antichrist is also riding the beast is this global corporate beast system. So you have the Antichrist. In one way, we see him in Revelation as the Antichrist as the beast, but also it's described as the global corporate beast system. Now, we learned already that after the rapture of the church, the Antichrist will consolidate his power out of this ensuing chaos that will take place. And he will depend upon the false prophet's endorsement of him as the premier religious leader of the world. And he's going to use it to further consolidate his power. Understand this. You've got this false prophet who is the religious leader of the world after the rapture. And he's going to say to the rest of the world, this guy, the Antichrist, he's the man. Place your faith and your trust in him. I vouch for him. As the religious leader, I condone him. As the leader of the world in the area of religion, I support this man. Now, the Antichrist is going to be the supreme power of the world after the rapture. He's going to be the absolute authority over all the earth. And the false prophet, under this guise of religion, is going to point people to him as their savior. This is Satan's evil, worldly, Babylonian system. But Revelation 17 and 18 records its ultimate demise and its complete destruction. Now, that's the religious. I want us to look at the two different systems here, the religious system's fall. So did you know that right now that there's an organization called the World Council of Religious Leaders? The World Council of Religious Leaders is working closely with the United Nations in an attempt to unite all world religions. You've seen bumper stickers that say coexist. You've seen those bumper stickers that say coexist, and each letter represents a particular symbol of a religion out there. Muslim, Jews, Christian, Buddhist, you name it. The idea of that bumper sticker is not just a clever bumper sticker, but it really is a spirit that is there that is strong in the world today that will eventually see it come to fruition in the tribulation, where the false prophet will rise up and he'll coalesce all the different religions into one, and that religion will be to worship the Antichrist and therefore worship Satan. I believe that once the rapture occurs, that whoever this false prophet is, which I believe he is alive today on this earth, and he's actually a religious leader even today, who is well known and who will be well received among all religions across the face of the world. You can use your imagination, not very imagination, to figure out who that might be. This false prophet is going to step up and he's going to use existing organizations and existing networks, such as this World Council, and also existing buildings such as possibly, I don't know, the Vatican, to leverage his false gospel. This New Age movement, how many's ever heard of the New Age movement? The New Age movement. It's this one religion movement. And they have a dream of a one world religion that's going to become a reality. I want you to know that even today, in modern New Age teachings, they're affirming that there will come a time when many people will suddenly leave the earth. But their take on it is going to be that those people who leave are going to be purged from the earth. You see, the slant on it is they're going to be removed from the earth because they're unfit for the next level of evolutionary and spiritual growth that Mother Earth is about to go through. So they're going to posture it. In fact, right now they're posturing it. They're forewarning the people that are into this movement that this is actually going to happen. So when it does happen, they're going to say, see, we told you it's going to happen. And they're posturing it as they need to be out of here. It's like we're the ones in the way. We're the ones that are not able to evolutionary to grow in this new age. And thank God I'm not one of those. Amen? Amen? Amen, we're not one of those. We believe in the one true God, not in many gods. And I find it really sad even today that people are swallowing this hook, line, and sinker. There's a great deception that is in the earth today. Satan is the great deceiver. And he's deceiving so many today that are saying, oh yeah, kumbaya, make it one world religion. I think it's just wonderful. We ought to just hold hands and sway to the music. And that particular sentiment is going to be in spades during the tribulation. As Satan not only is trying to distort things to fit his evil agenda now, and he's doing a good job of it, but he also is going to come to full fruit during the tribulation. We've got to understand this, body of Christ, that the battleground is now being prepared ahead of the rapture. The deceit is already in full swing. The enemy is already filling the world with false teachers, false doctrines, and great deceptions. The Bible says, and Jesus warns us in Matthew 24, verses 23 and 24, that at the time, if anyone says to you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will appear and perform great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. We're in that time right now, body of Christ. And Revelation 17 says that the religious Babylonian system is going to fall apart and be swept away. And that's what we know is going to happen. We won't be here for that. We're going to be caught up in the rapture. But we know that this religious system that we actually are experiencing around us today, that we actually are wrestling with today, because God didn't come to bring us a religion. He came that we might have relationship. He didn't come that we might live by rules. He came that we would live by grace and that we would live by the blood of Christ and his mercy and grace on us. Not that we're doing something to earn his grace and earn his forgiveness. We've already been forgiven. We just need to receive it and walk it out. Folks, Jesus did not come that we might have religion and have it to the full. He came that we might have life and have it to the full, based on a relationship with him, a restored relationship to God the Father through Jesus Christ, finished work. Folks, he's already done the work for us. And there's so many people, though, that are walking in religion. I'm not saying we're free to do whatever we want, however we want. We've been saved by grace, but we also make sure we got to do the right things based on his word. Don't you dare take this as a, don't cheapen God's grace. Don't you cheapen God's grace. You walk it out based on what God's word says. But it's not a religion that he's come that we might have. But that's that religion that we're seeing people walk out is what's going to be the thing that's going to be promoted in the tribulation. But it will fall. All the evil that has ever occurred over the centuries from Nimrod to the Antichrist in the name of God is going to be done away with. God's going to sweep it away. And all that's going to be left is what was originally not a religion, but a relationship. Folks, today, as you're here today, that's all God desired in the Garden of Eden when he created Adam and Eve. He just wanted a relationship with them. And that's what it will be again one day. Because what once was will be again. Amen? It's not a religion with rules and rituals and disconnect, but instead it's a deep, loving, fulfilling relationship with our Heavenly Father forever and ever. How does that sound to you? How does that sound to you? Oh, I can't wait. Any day now. Let's look at the political economic system's fall. Revelation 17 describes the Babylonians' religious collapse. Now Revelation 18 describes its political economic collapse. Folks, there's still a spirit that is going on in the world today that is this political economic thing that's going on. The God of the world is what? Money, right? Would you agree with me? The God of the world is money. And let me just say this. Any economic system, or political system for that matter, is only as good and effective as the character of the people who take part in it. Would you agree? Unlike other parts of the world, we have been blessed in America to enjoy a largely fair market system where opportunities and advancement are available to all who are willing to work hard and are careful to make wise financial choices. And by the way, can I just say that the socialist movement, that agenda that's going on right now, is not of God. It's a spirit of Antichrist. It's an introduction to this one world system that is getting ready to take place. Don't be surprised by it. It's all part of everything lining up. But do not swallow the socialist system as an end-all, nirvana, wonderful Garden of Eden place. It is an unsustainable system, and it will collapse. If not soon, it'll collapse definitely in the tribulation, because that's what we're reading about in Revelation 18. We all know this, though. As you work hard and you're careful to make wise financial choices, at least in America, chances are you're going to advance. There's nothing free. And if you're looking for something free, guess what? You're free means I'm paying for your free. Nothing's free. Nothing is free except for salvation. Salvation is free, but guess who paid for that? Jesus Christ paid for that. Nothing is free. In most developing or underdeveloped countries, there's little to no middle class. You either are rich, filthy rich, or you're absolutely impoverished. And we know that, the disparity that's there, but in the tribulation, that's what's actually going to be the norm. There's going to be either people that are filthy rich, or they're going to be absolutely impoverished. But it's going to be on steroids. It's going to be much more pronounced and obvious. Those in charge will have no principles and they're only going to seek to make trades for their own behalf. They're going to work the system to make themselves even richer while giving no regard whatsoever to anyone at any time. It's every man for himself in the tribulation. Those who buy into the beast system by receiving the mark will get rich off the backs of others. We saw several weeks ago in the third seal judgment at the beginning of Revelation that even during the time of famine and judgment and economic collapse, we see that the rich are still going to enjoy their lifestyle of privilege as the world around them starves. We see in Revelation 18 that these global marketeers selling everything under the sun, if you read it, you see what I'm talking about. Gold, silver, jewels, ivory, rare wood, metals, marble, from expensive wine and olive oil to vehicles, and even to human slaves. As much as the travesty of human trafficking and sex slave trafficking is as an epidemic, not only in our country and world today, did you know that by some estimates, over 40 million victims worldwide, mostly children, women, and girls, of human trafficking and sex slave trafficking? And I would consider that an epidemic, would you? It's a travesty to God. It's a heartbreak to God. It's going on today, some 40 million worldwide, children, women, and girls. But in the tribulation, we see that 40 million is just a foretaste of what's going to happen. Because again, It's going to be on steroids. It's going to be the thing. It's going to be slavery. It's going to be happening in the tribulation more than we could ever imagine. And what we have to understand is what's going on now is that the infrastructure of this sex slave and human trafficking is already in place today. But it's going to be much, much worse in the rapture, after the rapture. Revelation 18 says that the political Babylonian system will also be an economic capital world system. So it's not only a system, but it's actually a place. And that particular place, if you read Revelation 18, it talks about, it describes it. It's going to serve as a major hub of all trade, it says, as well as lead the global population in sin. So it's going to lead the population in global trade and economic prosperity, but also in debauchery. We also know that it's going to be, as a great city, it's going to be a global shipping port. But as mighty as it is, Revelation 18 says it's going to be destroyed by fire in one day. And its collapse will cause global economic ruin and despair. We saw how the Twin Towers were attacked and collapsed. And the loss of life and the chaos that it caused that city and the country and really the world by two buildings. Imagine an entire city in one day collapsing just like that to dust and burning to ashes. The political Babylonian system will be the seat of government and finance, and its inhabitants and all those who've bought into the system worldwide will conduct their business and financial pursuits without any consideration or thought to righteous, decent principles. Their sole purpose in all that they do will be to make rich people richer at the expense of others. Not a single thought will be given toward any righteous use of money or ethical treatment of people. All of those charities that are going on right now that you give money to, there's not going to be anything like that in the tribulation. It's every man for himself. But as we read in Revelation 18, it's going to come to a crashing end, and it's going to completely collapse in one day toward the end of the seven-year tribulation as God wipes the slate clean of all evil, and he sets up a kingdom where Jesus will reign in absolute holiness and righteousness. We read in Revelation 17 and 18, folks, that the economic, political, and religious systems of this world that we're actually living in right now that will come to a head in the tribulation, come to full power in the tribulation, that God's going to say, I've had enough. He's taking care of some things one by one. He's methodically taking care of it. He's intentionally going through and cleaning up the world. He's stripping it away. His judgments are being poured out. He's getting it back to how it needs to be back in Genesis. He's making all things new in the book of Revelation. And I'm so glad that we're on the winning side, aren't you? And you know, we can speculate who the Antichrist is. I've got my thoughts. I'm sure you do too. We can speculate who the false prophet is. I certainly have my thoughts on that one as well. And we can speculate where the religious and the political economic systems headquarters are going to be located. Possibly two different places. But in the end, folks, it really doesn't matter who it is or where it's going to be. What we can know for sure in all of this is that we're nearing the end. What we can know for sure is that the expiration date of the world is upon us. Folks, Jesus is coming back. And the rapture of the church is imminent. And God is getting ready to do all that we've read about in Revelation. What we must do in response to this, because there's nothing that we can do about the Antichrist, the false prophet, where they're located, the systems that will fall. All this is going to happen during the tribulation, and we're going to be out of here. But today, and I always like to try to apply, what can we do today? How can we walk out of here saying, well, that was, instead of just saying, well, that was interesting, boy, am I glad I'm not going to be here for that. Instead of saying that, what can we do to apply this to our lives today? I'll tell you this, don't put your faith in the world systems, because they'll collapse. Don't put your faith in the religious systems, because that's not of God. That's the furthest thing from God as anything. Instead, let me encourage you to stay close to Jesus. Just stay at his feet. It's such a simple suggestion to you. Stay close to Jesus. Don't get all mixed up in this stuff. I know that the Supreme Court Ginsburg, she passed away. God bless her. I know that that's creating some more things in the political realm. Oh no, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? Folks, stay steady, okay? Just stay steady and stay focused. Just stay at the feet of Christ, all right? He's in charge of this thing. He's not surprised. Oh, Ginsburg died? How did that happen? He knew that was going to happen. And he knew the timing of it. He knows everything that's going on. He's not surprised by anything. Stay close to Jesus in relationship to him. And then, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I encouraged you, I challenged you, stay in his word. Spend time in his word. Study it. Apply it to your lives. Know what his word says. Be careful not to be deceived. And depend upon the Holy Spirit to give you the discernment that you need to walk wisely with eyes wide open so that you're not swayed by the subtleties of Satan. I want to encourage you today to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you daily, to empower you to share Jesus boldly and lovingly, and to continue being about your Heavenly Father's business of souls. I want to leave you with this. I want you to imagine with me this scenario. If God is the CEO of a corporation called heaven, got that? God is the CEO of a corporation called heaven, and you and I are his employees. Got it? You've got to know that he's placed you here in your workplace, at your schools, in your neighborhoods, in this community, in this church, for such a time as this, to work for his kingdom. He's the CEO of heaven, and we're his employees. Jesus shared a parable in Matthew chapter 25 that tells us to keep busy for him while he's away. We invest our talents, our passions, our abilities, our life. He's given us those talents. If you know the parable, there's a man that gave some guys some money and said, I want you to invest this. So the talents are his, and he's loaned them to us. We're stewards of them. They're not ours to use for ourselves, but they're ours to steward for his glory. So I think part of the, and it really, it comes on the heels of Matthew 24, where he says, be careful, don't be deceived. And then he goes into these parables. And this parable of the talent says, you know, I've given you these things, and it's not for your gain. I want you to stay focused. I want you to be diligent. I want you to stay engaged, and I want you to work for my kingdom. I want you to invest in my economy. I want you to let souls be the bottom line of how well that you're doing. I know where you're working. Your bottom line is, how much profit are you making this month? How is it going this year? But did you know that the bottom line of the God of heaven, he's the CEO of heaven, and his bottom line is souls? That's where success is with him. It's souls. Every dollar, every effort, every goal should be with souls in mind. The bottom line in the world system is making more money, but the bottom line in God's kingdom is souls. This current kingdom in which we're living, this world's religious and economic, political Babylonian system, is going to soon collapse like wet cardboard. And we'll see how these events are going to set the stage for the people of the world to gather together in an attempt to take on God himself. And as we said last week, that's a foolish and hopeless endeavor. If you've ever tried to fight against God, I promise you that you've lost. I don't even have to have a conversation with you about it. You've lost. You know, it sounds absolutely ludicrous, but man's hard-hearted rebellion against God is going to blind them into thinking that they can defeat him. And next week, we're going to look at that. I want you to stand with me this morning as Emma comes to the keyboard. I want you to bow your heads in prayer. Next week, we're going to see the results of this foolish deception as we look at Revelation 19. We're going to see in Revelation 19 where Jesus comes back, which is called the second coming. He's finally going to conquer evil. He's going to conquer the Antichrist, the false prophet, the armies of the world, and Satan himself. Folks, we're headed to the home stretch of the book of Revelation. And not only the book of Revelation, but we're headed into the home stretch of our time here on earth before the rapture. So stay ready. Stay close to Jesus. Be about your Father's business. Bow your heads in prayer. Father God, we need you today. We need your Holy Spirit today. Holy Spirit, won't you come and fill us? If you need a fresh touch from the Lord this morning, if you want to be filled with the Spirit and re-energized in him, if you feel like that it's just kind of been depleted, you've really not asked the Holy Spirit to come and fill you for a while, maybe just feel a little drained and empty, I want you to just lift up your hands, both of them, and Say, Holy Spirit, I invite you. I yield to you. I invite you into my life. Come on, we're a Pentecostal church. We're a Spirit-filled church, aren't we? Aren't we a Spirit-filled people? Let's not just think we can do this on our own. We can't. Jesus told them to wait in the upper room until they were filled with the Spirit, and then they were empowered to go out. We will fall flat on our faces if we try to do this on our own. So Holy Spirit, won't you come as we lift up our hands, and won't you fill us today afresh and new? Won't you fall on us like you did in the upper room people, those that were waiting on you? Just in your own way, just invite the Holy Spirit to come in and yield to Him every area of your life. Holy Spirit, we yield to you our minds, our hearts, our bodies, our lives, our hurts, our past, our abilities, our possessions, our future, our everything. We give it to you. We yield to you, Holy Spirit, everything about us. Won't you come and fill us today? And then not just fill us, but empower us, equip us to go and make a difference for you. God, we recognize you as the CEO of heaven. We also recognize that really we're the employees of you. When we ask you into our hearts as Lord and Savior, we sign those as an employee, as an ambassador, not just to do church on Sunday morning, but to be the church out from this place. God, help us to be effective employees so that when you come back, as we read that parable, a couple of the guys doubled their money and one of them buried it, and the one that buried it, he cast him into outer darkness. But to the other two, he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, we want to take what you've given us, the opportunities, the talents, the time, whatever, and to be good, excellent, effective employees for you. Lord, it's all about souls. Whatever we can do to increase your kingdom, help us to do it. And Father, help us to not put our faith in this world's economic systems and the religious systems and the political systems that are going to collapse. Yeah, they're going to reach their zenith in the tribulation, but they're ultimately going to collapse. We choose to not put our faith in those things, but in you, Lord Jesus, on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. With every eye closed and head bowed, I'm going to give you one more opportunity here, an invitation to receive Jesus. Man, if this is resonating with you, something that it was said today or sung today, just the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart saying, you know, you need a Savior. You need to get saved. I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. Just simply just raise your hand and say, Pastor, I need Jesus in my heart today. I want to pray a prayer to receive Jesus in my heart. Lift up your hand so I can see it, and you can put it right back down. Just wave at me. Just lift up your hand and wave at me. Yes, I see that hand. Anybody else? I need Jesus in my heart this morning. Anybody else? And Christian, just pray if you will while we're at this, while we're doing this part right here. I need you to pray. Anybody else? I want you to all pray this prayer out loud with me, whether you raised your hand or not. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is God's Son, you will be saved. Say, Jesus, I thank you for dying for my sins. It's a finished work. And I ask you to now forgive me of my sins. Come live in my heart and be the Lord of my life. I thank you that I have a restored relationship back to God the Father through you, Lord Jesus. And I thank you that you've done already all that needs to be done so that I can be saved. I now choose to walk in this salvation and in your righteousness from this day on. And I pray this in Jesus' name.